from KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas, your favorite local live gun talk radio show. We're brought to you by AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, Houston's 2013 concealed handgun license headquarters. I'm firearms instructor and range operator Jeff Sanford, and as usual, joined in studio today by my brothers of the Spiral Tube, CHL instructor Gary Montgomery.
Thank you, sir.
And our law enforcement contributor, Jason Berry.
Always a pleasure.
And super special guest today, the old man, Steve, is here joining us today. Dad, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
It's been a long time since we've had you in the studio today, so it's a pleasure to have you back.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, Houston, if you have questions, comments, you want to get this show started, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Now, fellas, there's not much to talk about today, is there?
No, not at all.
Because nothing's happened in the past week or 24
hours. No big news
nothing,
lately, huh?
No gun-related news, no.
Yeah. No Facebook hatred, nothing like that.
I'm sick of the finger cramps, man. I've been banging on that keyboard since around 9:45 last night, and I'm sick of it, quite frankly. Yeah. So at least we can put all this to bed after today's show.
Obviously,
hopefully.
A year and a half of vitriol and arguing back and forth between two sides has finally come to its conclusion.
The court case has.
Well, the
arguing
case.
Will continue,
And it's going to rage full.
I mean,
steam
well,
ahead,
think
I'm
about
sure.
it. How many
well, until the next
people,
big scandal.
Yeah, but how many people still argue about OJ?
Yeah, you know,
that argument is still out there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be facing this one for a long time. You know what?
And that's fine. People can have their opinion. They're
sure.
definitely entitled to
their
opinion.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, a jury has already spoken. Yeah. The case
the
is over.
The fact is.
And we can argue about it as long as we're not flipping cars and burning houses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody can talk about it till they're blue in the face. But we've been fortunate, and it hasn't turned into the dire predictions that were thrown out by some.
No, it hasn't. And unfortunately, there have been some who have actually been posting rumors of it, trying to incite stuff, which is sad.
And fortunately, Facebook is shut down, and Twitter both have shut down a couple of those guys.
Yeah. Well, there was the Kill Zimmerman Facebook page that...
Actually, there's still a couple of those out there.
There's Riot for Trayvon that got pulled yesterday morning sometime. And I can't remember. There was three or four of them that got pulled, and all of them had names. You're like, really? That's been up for how long?
Yeah.
But there's similar pages for, you know, death to infidels and all these.
And we understand that. But that gets into something we can talk about to begin with this morning, the Facebook page that got pulled.
Yes, Uncle Sam's Misguided Children. Yeah, which is back sort of kind of as America's Misguided Children.
Yeah, it's a team of a bunch of Marines.
Started out as a bunch of Marines, a bunch of good folks that just wanted to be able to have an unadulterated say in what they believed. And, you know, I don't always agree with the stuff they post, but I defend their right to say it to the end of into my dying day.
And they don't beat around the bush.
No, they don't. They don't.
Not at all. There's no PC on that site.
Yeah, it's
but if you
PC
don't like it,
you could expect.
If you don't like it, don't look at the page.
Yeah, click unlike.
Right.
You know, and there's been a couple of pages that I've gone on and I've looked at. And it's like, oh, I kind of like that. It's kind of funny. And then after about a month or two, you see a couple of posts. You're like, I probably need to unlike that, considering I like my job and want to be able to keep it and don't want that thrown on my.
Well, usually it's not so much them; it's what gets posted as a comment to their.
Yeah, staff. And there was some stuff on one side. I'll even keep it to myself, but there was one. It's like, oh, it's a police humor type site, and there was some stuff thrown on there. It's like, you know, I'm just going to have to back out of this one because I like my job too much to be associated with this.
Well, Kip wants to get involved in this early today, so Kip, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What's up?
Hey guys, thoroughly enjoyed seeing everybody Saturday. My wife totally loved the laser shot.
That was a lot of fun. We got to play with the laser shot
and
machine.
And you too can have one for about $5,000.
Yeah.
At
the concert pub during
question.
It was during the Armed Citizen Project fundraiser yesterday. Yeah. And that was a good time. We saw a lot of listeners and a lot of our customers at Shiloh Shooting Range. And Colleen Kipp's wife got to show everybody how to operate that laser shot machine.
Yeah, my next question was how much, because I found out, I looked them up online, they're only eight, the office is only 8 minutes from my house in Stafford.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, yep. Really cool machine.
Oh, very good. Question to get off the normal subject. What are y'all's three opinions, which I kind of hold high, on the the 45-degree angle iron sights or attachments for red dots on ARs?
I'll start off with this one. There was a fad for them in three gun for a while, and there's still some guys running them. I personally don't have a lot of use for them, and I guess that's because I'm looking at it from both a defensive standpoint and competition. All of my guns have to do both duties. And I don't see a knee or benefit to rolling the rifle over, because it's changing the cheek weld, it's changing where it is on my shoulder. It's just weird.
I think it's a decent solution for some. It wouldn't be my first choice, but yeah. I'm not going to rag on anybody who does it.
Well, no, yeah. It's...
And I can see if you have a magnified optic, especially something like a 3-9 power, and you can never get it below 3, and you need to be able to take stuff, say, within 25 yards, rolling the rifle to the side and canning it with iron sights would probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the other solution is to piggyback sights like the Trigicon on top.
Right.
And then you talk about, I lost my cheek weld. Well, raise it about 3 inches above the gun and see how good your cheek weld
Agreed.
Is.
Agreed.
So
but
it's not the best
like
solution,
having, yeah.
but it's better than no solution.
Agreed. But I usually set up my sights so that, you know, on a short rifle, I've got typically just a red dot that's co-witness with my irons. And a red dot's good to easily 300 yards without doing a magnified optic.
Yeah. Now, what I get a joke out of or a big laugh out of is somebody who has an unmagnified red dot a la an EOTech or an Aimpoint, and they put the canted 45-degree sights on there. And it's like, really? Because you can just see through your optic, and you've got a throw lever on it. You can dump it if you need it. But some people want to look as tactical as they can, and they saw them in a Blackhawk catalog, and they're like, I gotta have it. It's in the Blackhawk catalog.
Right.
That must mean it's cool, you know. And especially for the price, if they weren't so much more than regular flip up iron sights, but in the end, it's still a piece of machined aluminum. It's not unobtainium. It's not kryptonite. It's not solid gold. I don't know why they charge what they charge, except people are willing to pay it.
I was gonna say people are willing to pay it.
Guys, that's why I was asking the question, because I've been seeing the ads for them, and I figure other people would probably ask the question, but I don't mind playing dumb and ask the question.
That's fine. Like I say, if somebody gave them to me, I'd gladly use them. If I got them at a reasonable price, I'd gladly use them, but I don't have magnified optics on any of my ARs, so I really don't have a need.
Yeah. Well, I run a magnified optic on one of my rifles, but it's low enough power that even at 7 yards, I can use it. I mean, it's got a little red dot, so it's almost the bend and aiming concept. So, you know, as long as I've got that occluded eye, I see the dot, it's superimposed on the target, press the button, bullet goes where I need it to go.
I hope that helps you out, Kip.
One thing, Gary, I wish you'd been there. I'd like to have seen what you could do with the guy that was running the machine at the laser shot on that high-speed thing.
Yeah, I really wished I could have been there.
Whoa.
I would have liked to see your times before and after the Jaeger shots, which significantly affect, apparently, your ability to aim, I learned.
Dynamite did a damn good job.
Yes, he did. Yes, we had the boy came out there, even though it was being held at a bar, a fundraiser, as long as he wasn't wearing he wasn't wearing a wristband that said he could drink. So
he was with his very, very responsible parent.
I was 100% responsible. But, we brought him out, and he got to listen to some music and put some bids in on some items for the auction and shoot a little laser shot. So,
Kip, did you win anything at the auction?
I haven't heard. I was going for the compound bow.
Now, the question is, if you had won last night, would you have known last night that they already do the drawing, or?
I don't know.
I don't know if they've notified anybody yet, but I did get some late-night text messages last night that Karen, Ken and Spring's mom, actually won the Guitar 15 from Ted Nugent.
Nice.
Yeah. And she also won a guitar signed by someone else. I can't remember who it was. But she walked out of there with two guitars last night.
Well, if you saw the string of tickets that Ken purchased, it's not difficult to imagine. When you walk out with a 6-foot-long string of raffle tickets, it's easy to end up with multiple
prizes. Yeah, and that thing was folded
prizes.
Over about 5 or 6 times, too.
He put the money in. It wasn't free, I can tell you that. He didn't buy one and done with those tickets.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He wanted to make Mama happy.
So. I didn't get the compound bow, so okay, it's fine. Goes for a good cause anyway.
That's right. Kip, we appreciate you giving us a call, man, and it was a good time hanging out with you yesterday, both at the range and at the concert pub for the Armed Citizen Project.
Ballistic therapy and then fun afterwards. Food can beat it.
There you go. Thanks, Kip. We appreciate you listening. And, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We are talking the Zimmerman trial today, and just about anything else you want to talk about, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738 to join the show. Once again, that's 281-558-5738. And we just had our CHL commercial come on. We're doing CHL special right now, two for $150. You can call Shiloh Shooting Range right now at 281-444-8930. And get your two CHL classes for $150 right now. And if you have an issue with our commercials, feel free to call 281-558-5738 and talk to me about it. Please do not call the shooting range to complain to my employees and then refuse to call here to talk to me about it. I'm giving you an open forum. If you dispute something, if you don't like what I have to say,
what
call me
at
281-558-5738.
There's a story here. I'm
waiting
for it.
What's the story here?
Apparently, a customer was upset last week about our ad, you know, saying that there are instructors out there that really don't know which side of the gun goes bang.
And yes,
there are.
There are.
Yeah, and decided to take it up with my hourly employees who answer the phone at the range. And when offered the chance to call here, it was refused and then continued to complain to the employee who had nothing at all with the commercial.
Here's what your answer to that is. No, I wasn't talking about you. But if the shoe fits, feel free to lace that up and wear it, okay?
Now, and I actually haven't put it on air or on the Facebook site because I didn't want to give the guy any credit, but I have shown you guys a business card that someone had where it's a picture of them holding their gun like they're shooting it, but they're not wearing ear pro. They've got their finger on the trigger with the slide lock to the rear, and it's just simply the most unprofessional-looking gun training service in the world, and we bring in the card here, and we've laughed about it, like, can you believe someone would hand this out or someone would pay him? Mm-hmm. And we've joked about it on occasion, and occasionally I'll get ads up for such and such firearm training, and I'll click on it, and I'll read about halfway through the page, and I'll go, clown shoes. This guy's an idiot. He knows nothing. And other times you'll click on it, and you'll go, this guy's pretty squared away. He seems to know what he's doing. I'd send somebody over there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you spend a lot of time at ranges, at public ranges.
Yeah.
How often have you seen, say, a CHL instructor bring a class in and they're doing instruction and firing, and you watch the instruction and they're teaching methods that are 25 or 30 years old or just plain inherently dangerous?
I was going to say it's 25 or 30 years old if the core essentials are there, not necessarily bad, but I've seen some outright stupid things. Mm-hmm. Teaching somebody that, well, we shoot by Kentucky windage. No, we don't, the idea of you've got a double action gun, so just strum one round off and then get to that short trigger. No.
Yeah, where's that first round landing?
Yeah, you know? That kind of stuff, no.
That trigger cocking.
Yes.
We'll cock the slide by doing that.
Yes.
And I have been at a undisclosed police department's range and watched an individual draw his double single pistol. And as he's bringing it up with his right hand, using his left thumb to cock the hammer, and then firing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why aren't you pulling the trigger? Well, I miss if I do that.
Yes.
Well, this is practice range, and in practice range, we practice getting better at our skills. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm good with cocking. I said, what happens if your left hand is carrying something, holding a suspect down, whatever? What do you do? Well, then I guess I'll have to pull the trigger. Okay, should we not practice for the event that we have to pull the trigger with one hand? And it was just, it was like talking to a brick wall. And this is a person who's been a veteran law officer for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, I said, well, what does your department think about that? Oh, they don't care. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, I know a lot of your instructors. I'm not in your department, but I know enough of them that I bet they care.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go talk to a couple of them. But It is what
Well, there was another large agency that, you know, I got to watch their officers qualify a couple times, and this was years ago. I don't know that they do this now. But they had actuated targets,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you see those as DPS and other large agencies.
Yeah, the side-to-side turning targets.
Yeah, uh-huh. So it rotates 90 degrees. And so they've got a number of officers that are on the line, and these targets are bladed, so they're turning away from the officer, so he's only seeing the side profile of the target. And I actually heard an instructor say, okay, everybody aim in. So these officers aren't having to draw from a holster at all. They all brought their guns up. Most of them wrapped their booger hooks around the bang switches and sat there and waited for the target to turn. You know, and I'm going, so you got a conditioned response, and whenever a target turns 90 degrees,
you
strum off around
that.
You know, I can see this on the street now. You know, somebody walks up to me, I've lit somebody up in a defensive shooting, and, you know, my hands are up. He says, let me see your hands. I put my hands up. He says, now turn toward me. Oh, heck no.
And well, ideally, it's when you see the threat, we shoot, and when the threat goes away. And the real reason that they use actuated targets is because if we say you have to draw and fire 2 rounds in 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
well, if there's not a stopwatch on you, everybody fires to like 3, 3.5 to 4 seconds. So by making the target turn away from you, it keeps those rounds from hitting anything because it blades the target.
No, you can't
shoot early, so we make it when you see the reaction, you're going to react to the movement of the threat coming at you.
Right.
And I'm hoping we're not training people to shoot when something turns.
Like I said, that was years ago. I don't know if they still do that. And I'm not knocking the idea of having the target do that. Per se, it's how you use it and what you train people to do with it.
Well, I think you'll probably agree the most irritating thing on the firing line in a CHL class is people that don't know how to shoot. You're given a lesson.
Oh, sure.
They're holding up everybody. You've got 20 people to qualify. And these instructors that don't know what in goes bang will give a personal lesson on the firing line.
Instead of continuing on.
Instead of getting things
getting
down the road.
Clear. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you got to look at it. When you get your driver's license, you take a test, you're already supposed to know how to drive before you get that test.
Before you sit in the car with a DPS trooper.
And I think that's, you know, the good analogy for the CHL. You need to learn how to shoot before you go to the firing line.
Well, you know, with the Texas legislature, we're not probably going to have much of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as of September 1, the class will be reduced to 4 to 6 hours. And we still have to recover all the same material. But now we've only got 4 to 6 hours to do the classroom portion, plus whatever it takes to get you qualified. And I honestly think that in the long term, I get where it's coming from. I wholeheartedly agree with making it easier for people to get to exercise their rights. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that if they hadn't gone through the class would be a hazard.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And they don't practice. You know,
won't practice. Instructors don't practice. I mean, I went to DPS 4 years. Four different years, and I lost track of the number of times that instructors were having trouble qualifying.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Well, you know,
no comment.
It was such an eye-opening thing for me because I didn't – it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know until you know.
That's right. And so
I'd grown up with – you know, my first shooting instructor was an old Marine Corps sniper. And so I'd just grown up with a certain level of expectation of what somebody was to call themselves an instructor. And I get to DPS, and I will not forget hearing active police officers in my class saying, I don't know if I can qualify 90%. And I'm going, why is that a question?
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, and you see, they don't know what they're doing wrong.
Right.
They don't know that they're being unsafe.
And it's not just cops. I'm not knocking them, just them, because I also had – I had three guys that I took to the range the day before we qualified because they were all, well, I don't know that I can shoot and didn't understand basic marksmanship.
So what was the actual complaint that you got about your commercial? I don't like the way it was worded. I don't like what it's implying.
Insinuating DPS wasn't doing their job or something like that.
By betting the instructors.
But DPS isn't – when you go up there, you're doing paperwork. They're not doing anything related to shooting, are they, when they're actually in this class?
You qualify. You qualify,
but does it show you – because I mean, I know how to
shoot. Oh, no, they don't do a shooting class for you.
Okay.
Unless you fail to qualify, then you get to stick around with the slip.
And there's 100 different ways to teach somebody how to shoot. There's not always – it's kind of like saying teaching someone a golf swing. Is there a right way or a wrong way? If somebody's teaching the Weaver stance, is that wrong? Well, it's not necessarily current, as opposed to aggressive isosceles, but it's still safe and you can still do it. So there's 100 ways to teach somebody to shoot, and no one of them is really right or wrong as long as you're doing it safe and the person is learning.
Well, and I run into that a lot of times with old guys. You know, I've been shooting like this for years.
Right. But that doesn't make it the best way to do it.
It's not the best way to do it, but you can't change them.
Yeah. And the guns evolve, and we have to evolve with the guns.
Agreed 100%, because I learned how to shoot Weaver, and I had to have it beat out of my head in the Sheriff's Academy about aggressive isosceles.
You're talking about the old way was the cup and saucer. See, I learned with the cup and saucer.
Charlie's Angels,
that was,
baby.
That was a long
No, that's a half Sabrina.
Half Sabrina, yeah.
Okay. The full Sabrina is actually wrapping around your wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, support side hand wrapped around
and
the wrist.
We saw that for years, and we still see that on occasion.
Yeah. Actually, I saw that in the Expendables the other day.
Yeah, it was Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone in full Sabrina.
But
running
after all of his years of shooting, he should know better.
No.
Because I'm sure he's learned
he's
how to shoot
idiot.
A real
he's
gun at some point.
He's an anti-gun idiot, so I'm not surprised by anything
well,
he does.
Well, I'm hoping.
All those donkey steroids and human growth hormone have finally gotten to him. Yeah,
so he's been getting donkey injections, huh?
Well, of course. Well, if you're, he's 66 years old and ripped like that. It's not natural. Come
but
on.
There are some movies, and we're kind of sidetracking on a different thing there, but some movies where they make people go to gun sight or make them go to front sight or make them go to a Vickers course or something. So you
that's
can
a Michael
watch
Mann film.
A Michael Mann film. That's exactly it. Thief. He sent James Caan to see Michael Mann, or pardon me, to see Jeff Cooper before he'd put him on screen. Mm-hmm. The guys who did Terminator 1 and 2, they both had some Israeli commando out there in Arizona teaching them all how to hold the guns, how to do speed reloads and everything else. They had the SAS working with Tom Cruise before he did Collateral. So when you watch Tom Cruise working that HK and doing his mag changes, it looks professional and believable. Mm-hmm. It is very easy to watch any of these movies and see who has had instruction and who has had Hollywood
As much as I dislike
Way
Tom Cruise.
He rocked it in that movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He
watching
did
the
well
whole club
in
shootout.
That movie, and then he was all right in Jack Reacher, too. I hate to admit that.
And, oh, I,
whoa!
For those of us who have heard Jeff off air, I know he hated to admit that.
I hated that.
Because I remember when he found out Jack Reacher was
Jack
coming
Reacher.
Out.
He's still not Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
He is a different character of the same name, but he did an all right job. All right, we have the winner, the big-time winner of the all the drawings last night at the Armed Citizen Project fundraiser. Karen, what's happening, girl?
Hey.
What did you win last night?
I won the Ted Nugent guitar, and I won the Whiskey Myers guitar.
Nice.
That is awesome. How much did you spend on your tickets?
I put 5 tickets in for the Ted Nugent, and I put 1 in for Whiskey Myers. And I didn't even know who they were, but Jennifer said... No, Jennifer said, Graham. Put one in there. They are great. I love them. So she's getting that one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe, but I just wanted to tell you something about what Ken did. When I saw him buy all those tickets, I thought, holy crap. But anyway, what he did was he put auction on those. So if his name was drawn, that money, they would go back into an auction so they could make more money.
Wow.
Oh, well, that was nice of him.
That's what Ken did. And because I told him, I said, why did you do that? I said, I want that guitar. He said, Mom, this is not about you. It's about them.
That's great.
That's very good and selfless.
And he says, and you should donate that back to them. I said, no. But anyway.
What are you going to do with it? Is it going to be a wall hanger, or are you going to go out and get guitar lessons?
No, what I'm going to do with it is I am going to give it back to Armed Citizen Project for their next fundraiser, but I'm keeping it until then.
Cool.
It's cool. I had it at the range this morning, and Chuck had to hold it and like it was a real gun and get his picture taken with it. And Tracy was like, that is cool. And Ken says, she should donate this. And Tracy says, y'all disagree on this, and I'm getting out of this.
You know where it would look good while it's waiting? It would look good hanging somewhere in Shiloh Center.
I told Jeff, I said, if I win that, because I've been wanting that since I first saw the picture, I said, that's mine. And I could hang it next to my Dwight Yoakam autograph that I won. But anyway, I told Jeff.
She has a fascination with Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, yeah, we like them tight, Dwight. But anyway, I told Jeff, I said, if I win it, I'll bring it up here and you can display it on your wall. And Jeff said, then I'll auction it. And I said, then you can't have it. But no, I am going to give it back to him. But I was when Derek called last night, Ken was maybe five houses from me, and I said, oh, my God, hot damn. And I hung up and I called Ken. I said, I won the Ted Nugent. He said, no way.
That is fantastic.
Because he just knew one of those tickets was going to give it back to them to auction after they auctioned the Michael Berry rifle.
That is awesome.
But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I didn't get one of his tickets. I got my own all by myself, and I got two guitars.
Good for you. And what great people that would do that. You know, Ken writing an auction on it, you giving the guitar back to him. I mean, this is something that's, I don't know about you, Gary, but this is the typical attitude that I see from our gun community.
Indeed.
Is these kind of actions. And so,
well, I've been doing a lot of work for gun ranges and, gun shops for them. I have Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas I'm working on for them. And Ken's got Illinois, and he's got up there places. But anyway, I really believe in what they're doing. I think it's a great thing. And, yeah, I am going to give it back to them for their next fundraiser. And I thought that I think they did over $9,000 last night.
That's great. That's going to go a long way towards arming quite a few women.
Especially getting the Mossbergs at the cost they're getting them from Mossberg.
Right.
They just got a ton of shotguns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know I bought a shotgun last night, apparently.
Let's just hope I don't have to log them in from Cheaper Than Dirt.
Yeah. But we don't talk about them anymore. I don't want to give Jeff a premature heart attack.
Well, thank you for thinking of me.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I didn't get one of Ken's tickets. It was one of my own. And I didn't buy as many tickets as Ken. But Ken was all about that fundraiser last night. And so was I. But they're not getting the Whiskey Myers back. I got to give that to my granddaughter.
Hey, I'm sure they don't have any
problems. She actually knows
that.
Who they are. But anyway, no, it's going back. But if you would like to show it at Shiloh, I'll be glad to let you take it until they fundraise again.
Sure, we'll hold on to it for you for a couple of days, put it up on display.
Yeah, there you go.
So that is really awesome of you, Karen.
And you can charge people to have their picture made with it.
And donate the money to Armed Citizen Project.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, but I just wanted to let you know that Ken was most generous last night for them, and I told Derek, I said, Ken's tickets in there have auction on them.
Yeah, and Ken sent me some expletive-laced text messages about he's not real happy about not winning anything last night. So
not for the amount of tickets he put in there.
Yeah, but hey, he still donated to a great cause, and he's helping to arm a lot of single women.
We're actually going to have to get the Armed Citizen Project guys to tell us about how many people were there last night, because we were there, but we bailed out because we're lightweights and wimps. And
we left about 11:15.
Oh, well, see, you were a late night owl. We were out of there because it wouldn't have been pretty if we'd hung around.
I was out of there by 7:30.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got up.
You boys are lightweights.
I wanted to get up while it was still light outside.
It was about 11 because Jennifer had a 12-hour shift today. We had to get her home.
Oh, poor girl.
And I hadn't been home long. Ken had just left when Derek called, and I thought, oh, hallelujah. I said, hot damn. Ooh. I'm so excited. I called Ken. He was ticked.
Well, good job.
But I did want you to know that those were not his tickets. He was re-gifting all those tickets back to them, hoping they would make even more money off of what he had put in there.
Well, that is awesome of him. That is great.
He's
a good guy.
We appreciate
what you guys do. And thanks a lot for being involved with the Armed Citizen Project and being a citizen activist and helping them out with, finding all these other gun shops all across the country.
It's a good group, and I'm retired, so I have more time than some people do. So it's a good group, and I appreciate what they're doing. And I know that they don't have facts from the police department or anything else, but like last week when in our Oak Forest newspaper, there were only four in Oak Forest proper.
Only four, what were like
police reports.
Okay. And what on average would you say the number of police reports have been in the past?
A few months ago, they were in the 30s.
So we don't have
seem to be in the Heights.
So it's moved out of Oak Forest into the neighboring neighborhoods.
And, and Oak Forest and Garden Oaks are, I would say, 98% white neighborhoods. It's the Acres Homes and everything that's back on the other side of us. But And that's why I think the crime was in here, because they felt like they could get more from here, you know, from in these neighborhoods. I mean, we've got, you know, $800 million homes going up. They're tearing down the old ones, and like the Heights.
Yeah.
But well, when I look at the weekly paper every week, and I check for Oak Forest, and there hasn't been a driveway assault in I don't know how long, and they did not catch those people.
So you mean to tell me an armed citizenry seems to deter crime?
Whether it be the bad press from Shejack or whoever, or some of the comments that I read in the Leader that I have to go online and rebuttal that to them, they're lower in this neighborhood, and I can't prove that's what it is, but all the press we've had about it, it seems funny that they're dwindling. In this Oak Forest proper, just the area where they're, you know, giving out the guns. And we've gotten a lot of press on with Kyle on the TV, the news, and in the Chronicle and everything else. So I feel like it's every week when I look, and it's not going back up. It's still down, and the Heights is just bombarded, you know.
Well, we're going to try to have Kyle on with us next week, and maybe we can talk some firm numbers with him and see how things are going.
Yeah.
But thanks for getting with us and giving us a call and telling us all about your winnings last night.
Yeah.
And just for being involved in general. Thanks a lot, Karen.
Y'all guys have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
All right, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Hold on tight. We'll be back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. I'm sure as you heard, there was some Bob Dylan being played as our bumper music earlier.
Yes, not in the podcast.
So, if you can guess why we're playing Bob Dylan today, what the correspondence to Bob Dylan in today is, and it's not his birthday, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. And if you get it, you get, let's say, a free round of shooting at Shiloh Shooting Range.
Well, and we need to be up front and say that some of us are not fans of Bob Dylan at all. So,
well, this comes from.
So don't ask why. Don't say we're playing it because we're fans.
I said it's coming from the production booth.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Gary and your mother, Jody.
Your wife.
I know. So I know the answer, but I'm not allowed to tell you guys.
So. Silly, silly hippies.
Oh, I think they have too much fun back there.
Oh, we're, yeah, that's watch that we're accused of quite a bit.
I know. Well, we did make a post while we were off air just now. If we were talking about movies where people look like they know what they're doing in shooting, I made a post on Facebook. Go online. You tell us what actors and what movie they were in that looked like they knew what they were doing with a gun.
Yes.
And we'll do another one here in a day or two where it's what actors look like they obviously didn't know what they were doing, but that'll be a lot bigger post.
I was going to say, that's a big
a
list.
Huge post. But I found Jeff's interesting because it had a twofold thing. Now, Jeff, what did you throw out there?
I said Keanu Reeves and Street Kings.
In Street Kings. And in Street Kings, I will give it to you. Now, what other movie was Keanu in?
Speed.
Man.
Man, we're going to shoot the hostage.
Eliminate
and we're going to
the hostage.
Yeah. Okay, so he loses any cool points of credibility for Speed, but he did make up for it in Street Kings, which is a pretty underrated film, but at least he looked like he knew what he was doing with that.
Well, you're the one who's been posting all the videos of how tactics have changed through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You got to think, man, that was early 90s when Speed was on, and he was talking about eliminating the hostage, and then Street Kings.
No, that was somebody who just, you know, they'd never talk to a police officer. They just pulled that one out of their butt.
It sounded good for movies. Sounded good.
Take
for
them out of the equation.
I was going to say, even in that era, there's no way. You know.
Yeah. I know.
Well, you know, and The Fugitive, Tommy Lee Jones holds up the Glock and says that it'll make it through airport security.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was
the
only guy. No, Bruce Willis said
Bruce
that
Willis
in Die
said
Hard.
That in Die Hard.
It's a porcelain gun.
U.S. Marshals.
Oh, he did?
Also.
Yeah.
Said that he'd be able to get through all the metal detectors.
But he also told the guy to get rid of his nickel-plated sissy pistol and get him.
And it was a Taurus he told him to get rid of. Get rid of that nickel-plated sissy pistol and get a Glock.
Hey,
so he makes points for that.
Good for him.
Yeah, I put up Sarah Connor from Terminator 2. Linda Hamilton, because she can rock a 1911 better than any woman I can imagine being able to rock a 1911. Give me another woman that rocks a 1911. Looks like she knows what she's
Angelina
doing.
Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Okay, in Mr. and Mrs.
Smith,
I can Okay, you got me there.
Yeah, but she's
In Tomb Raider, when she's dual wielding HK USPs now, yeah, she doesn't do much for me in looks, but she does it in that movie alone. Yeah, she looked decent doing it.
The lips. But anyway, moving on.
That's another website we'll be talking about later on. Well, you didn't give us a someone rocking a gun that was respectable.
You know, I still...
Nobody passes Gary's test.
Well, there are moments in time, and I think the movie
we mentioned, Way of the Gun?
Well, Way of the Gun's really good. I'm still a big fan of Collateral.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise in that movie did do a good job.
Is Mozambique as classic as used in training classes?
And that's the thing. I used that shooting in the alley. As an example, but because here's the thing, that's actually a totally legally defensible shooting, right up until he finishes off the last guy.
Yeah,
because that one's a little dicey. But
five of the six rounds were pretty damn clean and legal.
But if you could articulate that, I went over to go grab my briefcase, and the guy reached up to shoot back at me. Well, then okay, but yeah. And, that's one of those. It's all on how you write the report.
And even if people are bringing up he was a hitman, he had killed somebody. Well, yeah, he had, but in that specific moment, he hadn't engaged them, he hadn't done anything with them. They had come after him and attacked him. He might go to jail for the people he killed earlier in the evening,
he'd get the full acquittal
on that one.
Yes, so. But that one particular one, that was totally defensible.
Ah, well, folks, anyway, go by our Facebook page, have a look, post who you think is a good quality gun shooter in movies and who represents the discipline well.
I was also surprised by Jake Gyllenhaal in End of Watch.
I have not seen it yet still.
You need to see that movie. That's
everybody tells me that,
movie.
And I've been too lazy to go out and rent it from the Redbox.
That's a good film to watch. And actually, back on the Michael Mann thing, the Miami Vice movie.
The plot got away from him, but the gun handling was semi-decent.
The gun handling was solid. Other than the bad guys, I saw good tactics. I mean, even at one point, it was like, look, I can't get this guy through the car, so I'm going to drop to the ground, put a foot round in his foot. And, you know, we're going to work on him that way.
That was good, too. I still don't know if they're teaching the lateral vascular chokehold there for tapping people out by using your rifle as a choking device and putting the trigger out in front of where the guy's hands are. But,
right. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Different
one.
Strokes.
Yeah. You know. But Michael Mann movies are cool like that. He's had that's one of his things. That's a signature thing for a Michael Mann flick.
Yes.
So go check out the Facebook page, folks. It's Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. And Gary, you're going to put this up on
GunsOverTexasRadio.com. You can also reach us there. And we're also at TexasGunTalk.com. We've got active threads in our area over there.
All right, now let's talk. Let's get back to the Zimmerman case. Now that he's been found not guilty. Mm-hmm. Of second-degree murder or manslaughter, mm-hmm. He should be getting his gun back, right?
Eventually, in theory.
Okay. You know. Now, he should also still have his concealed handgun license, correct?
It will probably be reinstated, because I don't know how Florida handles that. Texas, it would be suspended while you're facing trial, unless you submit it first. So, yeah, he may end up getting it back, And it is what it is. I mean, you know, more power to him. The only thing is that his life as he knew it is over.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're looking at the classic Joe Horn syndrome of even if you win, you lose because you won, but you lost all your money, your way of making a living, your anonymity.
But, you know, Joe Horn didn't. I think Joe Horn case was a hell of a lot cleaner than this one.
well, they told Joe not to go in his front yard.
Yeah, but Joe at least saw a crime and all that good stuff. Yeah. And Joe could literally articulate. I mean, there was an officer who rolled up at the moment he stroked off on that first guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was like, he was running toward him. He had to shoot him.
Yep.
So there was less question about whether or not his actions were reasonable or whether or not he sought a situation or anything like that. But, you know, the big takeaway for us as armed citizens, to me, is you have to look at this and recognize that your actions, even if they are quote-unquote right, will be questioned. And
under a Monday morning microscope you cannot imagine or fathom.
Yeah.
And once they start changing things, like your 911 calls, amongst other things.
Well, and a good friend of ours has long said, 911 cannot record you if you do not call them. Deal with your problem.
Deal with your problem. And I can agree, but in this one, it all goes back to mindset.
It does.
In his mindset, he thought he was doing the right thing the whole way, which may or may not be true. But in his mind, they have to prove evil intent for him to do stuff.
Agreed. But we had that with Ron Rodriguez here in town. Yeah. You know, he gave us 27 minutes of being able to
But again, there's a lot of times that people step on their own junk when they're doing that, and he stepped on it really big time.
Yes,
you know.
And the thing is that Zimmerman, I agree that there was no reason legally to charge him. I do not see the evidence there, and I think that it was absolutely wrong to charge him with murder. That to me was totally politically motivated.
Well, it was the Sanford police chief at the time has come out and said that that he did not. What was the quote, Dad? What did you say?
Well, he believed that the charges should never have been brought, and that's why he was fired.
Right, and even Alan Dershowitz said the same thing. Who famously
Harvard law professor. He said that the prosecutor should be disbarred for bringing the charges as they were.
Okay. Yeah, that's and Angela Corey.
I cannot believe I agree with Alan Dershowitz, but in this one, you know, he's got it. I mean, this is the same guy who got Klaus von Bülow off, amongst other people, and in the end. You know, this is a guy that knows about there's either evidence or there's not. And you can't throw would have, should have, possibly,
maybe,
they might have, isn't it strange? None of that counts as evidence.
Right.
And it falls back to, I got into an argument with folks at work about Casey Anthony. Mm-hmm. Casey Anthony, I 100% believe, killed her daughter. There is not a shred of evidence that she did.
Right.
Absolutely none. Nothing. And the fact that they brought a charge against her, I'm like, I know you can indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury, but I don't even think they could have indicted the ham sandwich with the evidence they had against Casey Anthony. Because it was your daughter's missing. Okay, where is she? I don't know. She might be with my mom. She might be with another person. Okay, so all we have is your daughter's gone, and you gave three different accounts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that's it.
It's circumstantial. And the thing is that if I put myself – and here's the thing is – there's through life experience, I honestly think I've been on both sides of this. I have been the black kid in the wrong place at the wrong time. I honestly have been that, and that is just something that's unique to this country. But I have also been on the situation of having laid somebody flat and went, oh, crap. And I have never been as scared at that in my life as I was at that moment or since, and I do not want to go through that again. You know, if I had it to do over again, I'd still lay him flat. But you know, it's a rough thing. And I'm glad that the kid lived, and I'm glad that you know everything shook out.
Now, having seen individuals fall and hit their head and be DRT dead right there, I've physically watched that happen.
Yes,
you could have punched him right in the face to say get back, and he fell and busted his grape.
I heard his grape pop when he hit the ground. So trust me, I know.
Yeah, so there, but for the grace of God go all of us.
Yeah.
And it's a good object lesson, especially if you're in a gun unfriendly type place.
Right.
I worded that all wrong. But anyway, if you're in a place that's non-permissive environment towards gun owners, you could have a real problem. And Florida is about the most permissive you're going to get besides Texas.
Right.
So
Florida has over a million concealed handgun license holders.
But look at the minutia they focused on that has nothing to do with the mindset or anything.
Right.
He was carrying a gun that was loaded.
Yes.
And it had
what
a
else
round
are you
in
gun?
The chamber. That's my Nancy Grace voice. He had a round in the chamber.
Oh, yeah. And she also said that the Kel-Tec PF9 had a safety. And
I know the Kel-Tec PF9, and it has a safety.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, she reads the brochure. She went to the website. The passive firing pin block is a safety. All guns have a passive firing. So she read safety and was asking why it wasn't engaged. Now,
but it was.
Well, it was sense. Until the trigger is pulled fully to the
correct.
Trigger. But I don't recall in any – I haven't seen – If it's a 30-minute-long Zimmerman interview with the police, I haven't seen all. I've seen about 15 to 20 minutes of some of his interviews. So I don't know if they asked him a question like, well, was there a safety? Was it on? If they even asked him that, if it was relevant. Because when we're at deadly force, it doesn't matter if there was a round in the chamber or not.
Right.
We are at deadly force. So even if the gun was unloaded when you had it and you had to load it, rack the chamber, and do whatever, we still brought it into a firing mode.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how many steps were taken to bring it into firing mode. We brought it into firing mode, and we fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's the relevant part here.
Right. And the question is, was that at that moment justified?
And that's what it boils down to. But people out there need to understand when we start talking about the, oh, I've got my Zombie Killer 2000 rear plate on my Glock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine and dandy. You're perfectly legal to have that. Now think about how that's going to look when a prosecutor holds it up in front of a jury.
Right.
Look at him. He's the Zombie Killer 4000. He thinks he's all that. We're going to show him.
Yeah.
And you just never know
or
what's going to be on
else,
that jury.
Or if nothing else, we get to the civil trial, and we may still see a civil trial
I
out of
think
all of this.
Well, he didn't use stand your ground, but I'm fairly certain that if he had said stand your ground, he would be immune from civil prosecution in Florida. That's part of the statute.
If they granted it, yes.
If they granted it. Now, he was acquitted, but I don't know if this self-defense acquittal is going to protect him from civil immunity in that.
In Texas, it wouldn't. Because in Texas, even though, yes, if the force used – now, it's weird. The law is almost in conflict with itself. Because the law does say that, you know, if the use of force is justified, that therefore you're supposed to be immune from
civil prosecution. Yeah.
However, there's another part of it that says that nothing that happens qualifies you from immunity. So you can still face it. And the thing is, Texas law, I know for a fact, you can indict a ham sandwich. Well, in Texas, a lawsuit does not need merit; it only needs opportunity. You know, and they can hunt around for a judge. It may go to a federal court, but they could possibly.
Now, he's going to lose money probably in a civil case because people will feel they have to give him something.
Right.
And civilly, if it's just preponderance of evidence
you
caused my son's death. Well, that's easy to prove. I said I did it.
Right.
You know, there's no arguing that.
And how about his civil suit against NBC?
Well, any money he wins might just end up going straight to the Martin family. Mm-hmm. So is it even worth it to do that? I think he needs to spank NBC with a suit just to teach NBC a lesson about
pulling I wholeheartedly agree. NBC and ABC.
Pulled.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. But the other thing he's got to worry about, the civil rights violation charges, which he's going to have to pay for defense again. But we have to keep in mind, a civil rights violation charge, the evidence that's going to be brought against him is the exact same evidence we all just saw.
Right.
And we all saw how well that worked out with the first jury. Mm-hmm. Now, they would have to bring the federal civil rights charge in the jurisdiction where it happened. It would still have to be in Florida. It would still have to be in the same area, whatever their judicial district is.
Right.
It might be in a larger city in the area because I don't think there's a federal courthouse in Stafford, Florida. But he's still going to have to face it with the same jury of his peers there and the same evidence. And I still don't see how they have it because there's an FBI report that I've actually put my hands on and read and flipped through all 13 pages I got to read. And the FBI report says we find absolutely no evidence of racial bias at all.
Ooh.
I can find you the copy online.
Yeah.
I can find you the copy, definitely. And it's not necessarily damning that they basically say that they have talked to every white supremacist group. They dumped Zimmerman's computer and phone history for the past 5 years and can't find any examples of them going to stormfront.org or KKK websites or any type of hate sites. They can't find any online posts he ever made regarding it. All they can find in his history is him mentoring young black kids and protesting the police for an unsolved crime against a black guy where a police officer's son was involved. And they could find all this stuff showing him trying to help the black community, and they couldn't find a single thing against him. And that's the FBI's report before this even went before the jury here in town. Mm-hmm. I think it came out in May, the FBI's report did. And the FBI report basically said, we got nothing.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be people screaming, we got to go forward. And they might go forward just like this. They might go forward with, it looks good on TV. It makes us look like we're doing something even though we're not.
Yeah.
And you could be out there defending yourself and be perfectly right. And guess what? You're gonna go for the ride.
Now that's not us telling you not to defend yourself.
I would never
say that.
But don't make stupid choices surrounding your thing, and you'll make your life a lot easier.
Yes.
You know.
Well, the media has turned this into a huge racial divide. You know,
of course,
is something that they thrive on, and they used it so that they can continue to get minorities to continue to vote Democrat, to blindly support their policies. Mm-hmm. And so this became a story about murder instead of a story about self-defense,
right,
is what it should have been from the get-go. And so,
well, even to call it murder, that is a problem for me. And I guess because I have spent so many years studying use of force, is that murder requires intent. It usually requires premeditation. You know, you went out knowing you were going to kill somebody that day.
And when we get down to it right quick, killing somebody is not illegal.
Correct.
Murdering somebody is illegal. Killing them, causing their death, happens every day by police officers and other people doing a justifiable death.
Most people don't know this, but and I only know it because it's one of those things I picked up over the years. But when Texas Department of Criminal Justice processes a prisoner for death row, and we put him to death, what's listed as their cause of death?
Homicide.
It's listed as homicide.
Yep, because it wasn't natural.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Homicide, the manner of death just means it was caused by another human being.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that could be perfectly legal or it could not. That's why we'll get into different levels of culpability after the break.
All right, Houston, that's hour number one down. If you're on hold, hold on a little bit longer. We're going to take our long commercial break, but we'll be back with more Guns Over Texas.
Mm-hmm. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of Guns Over Texas, Houston. If you want to get involved in the show, give us your opinion, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. It's 281-558-5738. And let's talk all things that go bang. So let's head right out to Crosby and let Chuck start off hour number two. So, Chuck, you're going to start hour number two, but you can't finish it. Okay? Fire away, bud.
This is short. I think there are some
things. You're
going
to need to start over, Chuck.
We missed the first part of you there.
I said, oh, God, it's going to be tough. I'm going to have to really try to cut this short. I think there are some critical lessons that we can take from this whole thing with the Zimmerman trial. Number one, this was not a local issue. They turned it into a national issue, and I think it's critical for us in Texas or Florida or wherever we perceive that we're in a gun-friendly area to understand that once it's taken out of the hands of the locals and it's taken to a national level, then all bets are off. At that point, instead of having friendly locals, we have unfriendly, you know, gun-grabbing lunatics at the national level running the show.
Yep, who are just trying to push their agenda for a reelection.
Absolutely. I mean, this thing, the unfortunate thing about it is there were a lot of things that you're never going to hear in the major media. Number one, this was a diversion. This was a red herring. They had to get the attention off the NSA scandals, the illegal
Fast and Furious, Benghazi, activity. The IRS, PRISM, everything.
See, the problem is they were beginning to lose their left wing. They were beginning to alienate their libertarian wing because of all the you know, scandalous things that they've been doing. I mean, for years, everybody was barbecuing G.W. Bush for being totalitarian, dictatorial, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden they discover, oh, my God, this administration is even worse. It's on steroids.
Well, only under this administration could a minority shoot and kill another minority, be acquitted by a minority female jury, and still be called a racist.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is this is an even bigger picture. What we're dealing with here is, at the national level, what they were trying to do was they were trying to pull the left, the libertarian, the George Norrie, what's that other guy late night?
Listens to him. Don't worry about it.
Well, they were trying to pull those guys back into the fold because those guys were so alienated by the criminal activities of this administration that they were beginning to, you know, to desert them. So there's a lot involved in this. And so, you know, in order to pull those guys back into the fold, they had to turn this into, or they didn't have to, but their strategy was to turn this thing into somehow a racial, and you've still got, believe it or not, they are demanding that the Justice Department get involved. They're demanding that they redo the civil rights case. There's a lot of activity. They're having not riots, but major demonstrations in all the major cities, and this is not going to go away. I mean, this is going to continue. But like I say, what we're dealing with here is if George Zimmerman had been killed, it would never have made the national news. It wouldn't have got out of that county.
Absolutely. That's right. You know, and if George Zimmerman was black and had shot and killed Trayvon Martin, we would never hear of that either. And evidence of that is since Trayvon Martin has been shot, there's been, what, over 11,000
11,108
yeah.
In the 513 days since the trial began till the trial ended. 11,108 blacks murdered, black males murdered, and 93% of those were by other black males.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So apparently they don't care about that. We have to focus on this.
Because that doesn't serve a political agenda. You've got to understand, everything right now in America is driven by politics. Everything is driven by, you know, look at this thing that happened in the state legislature. That was orchestrated and choreographed. That whole thing, you know, with the anti-abortion legislation and you know, the whole, I mean, that was literally organized, and Wendy Davis and all those people knew exactly what they were going to do. This was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. This was orchestrated. You know, it's like when Nikita Khrushchev was banging his shoe on the table, and somebody happened to notice, son of a gun, he's still wearing both shoes. He brought that in a paper bag. He staged this thing, you know.
I didn't know that, but that makes perfect sense.
You know, I mean, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with the most incredibly well-organized, polarized political machine in the history of mankind. This is just one little pebble that they've thrown in to disrupt what was going on, because they were in danger of losing a lot of their left-wing base. The left-wing base had become very critical, and we were beginning to see anti-administration protests, cartoons, and things like that. So this is just part of a bigger picture. The other thing that I really want to stress to all of our audience, all of our people, is please understand that no matter whether you're doing what you believe is right, and even if God would applaud whatever you do, you may end up getting caught up in some kind of a political maelstrom that spirals everything out of control. And you could end up literally with your life destroyed, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Yep.
But I mean, is it better to be destroyed and alive or dead?
And that's the dice you have to roll. Chuck, we do thank you for your call and thank you for your point of view. But we got a guest here in studio, and we're going to have to move on to him. But thanks for calling us, Chuck.
All right. So, you know, we've been talking the Zimmerman case. Things getting a little heated here and there, so let's take a little break. I've got one of my buddies has joined us in the studio today, my buddy Ben. Ben, welcome to Guns Over Texas. I think this is your radio debut.
Yes, sir, Jeff, and thank you for having me on today.
All right, so what are you here for, Ben?
So I'm working up in with a company up in the Woodlands as an intern over the summer, and a group of us have decided to take on a team development project. So this is a global company with groups of interns all over the nation. And we had the opportunity to go to a baseball game or a basketball game with the funds that they've given us. And instead, we decided to host a charity concert. So what we've done is we've booked an event with the Do-Si-Do Big Barn Music Hall up in the Woodlands. And we've got the Scooter Brown Band coming out on July 27th.
All right, cool. We have we had the Armed Citizen Project fundraiser last night. And who played that, Jason? Do you remember?
I can't remember the name of the band.
I think it was Josh Fuller Band.
We were listening to it. We were busy shooting laser shots and
I was already out of there by the time the music came on. It was
no, not that. That would be wrong.
While we were there, it was a Styx cover band. So,
and I don't remember. I had a good time. That's all I know.
All right, let's just say I'm glad I left when I did. All right. So tell us more about it, Ben.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to have this concert, and it's basically pretty simple, three-course meal. It's going to start at around 5:30 and go until about 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
You know, so what are you feeding people?
We're feeding people. It's going to be a down-home three-course meal, water, soft drink.
We're talking barbecue, chicken fried steak.
Barbecue, some rolls, a little bit of greens on the side possibly.
All right, because our listeners tend to really like, you know, barbecue. You know, part of being a good Texas gun owner.
Definitely. We'll get them set up well.
All right. So when is it?
Going to be July 27th.
Okay, now what are y'all going to be doing along with the dinner?
So along with the dinner, we're actually going to be having a silent auction and live auction. So we're basically going around to local businesses within the community and finding people that want to donate items to us so that we can auction them off during the event and give all those proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project.
All right, so if we have listeners out there that have some items that they would like to donate, no matter what kind of business they may own, how would they get in touch with you? How would they get that item to you so that y'all can put that up for auction to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project?
So if they want to get in touch with me, easiest way is by email. at Relentless. It's RELENTLESS 4031 at gmail.com.
Ooh, we're going to have to do that one again.
Yeah, no problem. It's pretty long, you know. Should have shortened it up before I came in. But it's just
you couldn't have just gone with, like, Ben at Gmail. Yeah.
Now, let's try that again. So it was Relentless.
Relentless, RELENTLESS 4031 at gmail.com.
All right. Now, what kind of auction items do y'all have so far?
So we've got everything across the board, from CHL license gift cards donated by Shiloh, which, once again, thank you for that, Jeff.
Hey, thank you for what you're doing.
No problem. We're very glad to be able to do it. We've also got anything from gym memberships to a CrossFit gym donated by CrossFit Point Break. The folks over at Crystal Lynn Photography have donated a family photo session for us. And we even have a local breeder up in the Woodlands that has donated a 9-month-old purebred Labrador puppy for us to auction off.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Houston, if you're out there listening and you have an item that you would like to donate to go to a great cause to help our wounded warriors, you can get in touch with my buddy Ben at relentless4031@gmail.com. Now,
posted that to our Facebook page.
Okay, good. Thank you, sir. Now, what if they just want to come out and enjoy the event? Is there a cover charge at the door?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us where Do-Si-Do is. Give us the rundown, Ben.
So Do-Si-Do, you're basically going to get on I-45 and drive straight up into the Woodlands. It's going to be on the frontage road, and it's $60 per ticket. That $60 is getting you into the concert and the 3-course meal, everything with it. So,
Who did you say it was?
Scooter Brown Band.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Good band, local guy.
So $60, you get a 3-course meal. You get to listen to a great band.
Yep.
And anything else with that money?
Just an awesome event.
All right.
Helping out
wounded warriors. It's a good thing.
There you go.
Warriors. And one of the good things about that $60, so $10 from every ticket is getting donated to our fund, and then the good folks at Do-Si-Do have decided to match every ticket sale for $5. So every ticket sold is going to raise $15 for our project.
That's fantastic. That's great. So we appreciate what you're doing, Ben, and getting involved in doing that. And so, Houston, if you have any questions, you want to ask Ben how to get involved in this, you can feel free to give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And let's head out to Cypress and talk to Bert. Bert, what's up?
Hey, man, I was at ACP last night. I didn't get a chance to meet you. You may have left before I got there. We were late, but Kyle and Derek were telling us you guys that Shiloh made a great donation over there, and I just wanted to recognize you for it and say thank you.
Oh, we appreciate that. We think that Kyle and Derek are doing just an amazing thing with the Armed Citizen Project, and we're really looking forward to helping them kick off National Empowerment Day for what they're doing is August 10th. They're asking for 500 ranges and instructors around the country to train one woman at each range. And so we think that that's a great thing that they're doing, and we're working on doing something pretty big to kick that party off. And so we'll announce that once we finalize everything with Kyle. But we're really proud of Kyle and Derek and what they're doing. They're great guys, and we definitely enjoy working with them to empower women and to help bring down the crime rate. So, Bert,
exactly.
What are you volunteering with Armed Citizen Project?
No, I'm just a friend of Kyle. Kyle and I.
You're one of his friends, and you're not helping him.
Well, I met him through at Albert Wood's house.
Okay.
I managed the project over there to put Mr. Wood's house back together.
Oh, that's great.
And I met Kyle there. He showed up and said, "Hey, I want to help. Can I pressure wash?" And he wanted to do anything he could to help out. And then during that process, he had to brainstorm to start ACP. And he said, "Man, you know what I'm going to do?" And he told me about it. And here it is. You know, I guess, 7 months later.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it's really exciting to hang out with these guys and talk to them, because most people talk about doing something. Very few people talk about it and then put that plan into place and implement it and do it and follow through. And Kyle and Derek are two guys that if they say they're going to do it, they're not just going to do it. They're going to jump in full steam ahead. And it's been a lot of fun working with them so far, and we're really looking forward to seeing how big this can get.
Absolutely. I'm proud to be friends with them, and I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for everything you're doing.
Hey, thank you, Bert. And do you have your concealed handgun license?
I sure do. Yes, sir.
Good job, Bert. What are you carrying?
380, a little LCP.
We'll he didn't you, say Bert. Judge. He didn't say judge, so I'm happy with the man still.
My wife carries the LCR in her purse, and I carry the LCP. You know, when I started getting my my CHL, I thought I was going to carry my 1911 every day, and I did for about a month, and it was just cumbersome. And
things get big and heavy and sweaty. And
yeah. So, you know, I guess the best gun is the one you carry, so I can drop this with the 380 in my front pocket every day, and I've always got it with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bert, what do you think about the Zimmerman case last night? What do you think about the verdict?
You know, I think it was the right thing. There wasn't enough evidence. You know, nobody knows what happened there except the people that were there, and there's not enough evidence to show either way. I'm happy with it.
All right. Bert, we appreciate you calling and being a part of the show, man, and come see me anytime at Shiloh Shooting Range. Let us buy you a round.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bert. Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
We'll be having some fun
under the boardwalk.
People walking above
under the boardwalk.
We'll be making love
under the boardwalk.
Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. If you want to get involved in the show, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And to start off this this segment, my buddy Ben, who's going to be playing at your charity?
The Scooter Brown Band.
What's the date?
July 27th.
Where's it at?
Do-si-do off of I-45 in the Woodlands.
All right. And who does it benefit?
Wounded Warrior Project.
All right.
You know, only in Texas could you name a place the Do-si-do.
I've driven by it about 100 times and never stopped. It actually looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, I don't deny that, but I'm just saying it's only in Texas.
That's all right. It's only in Texas, a lot of things.
Oh,
man.
No, don't get me wrong.
Thank goodness. Thank God.
You know, I'm a Texas native. I love it. I wouldn't go anywhere else. I've seen enough of the rest of the world and the country to go not anywhere else.
All right, let's head out to the Woodlands and talk to Steve. Steve, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Steve?
Hi there, guys. Hey, first, I'm all in favor of that Zimmerman verdict. I think those ladies have guts, and I'm glad they did what they did.
Yes, sir.
Secondly, I'm looking for some type of a boot camp or a couple day where you learn how to, I don't know what they call it. I'm lost for the word.
Are you looking for a defensive handgun course?
No, I'm already concealed handgun.
What about rifle with AWOT training systems?
I don't have that.
Oh, well, you're fortunate, sir, because AWOT Training Systems is going to have a class on the 21st. I don't know if that's Saturday or Friday.
That's a Sunday.
That's a Sunday. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember which one it was. But AWATT, I believe is how it's pronounced, .com, AWOT Training.
Actually, no, AWATT, class, CLASS.com.
Okay, I'll put the link back up on Facebook. I'll put it on our Facebook page, so stop by our Facebook page and see it. Larry Ryland is the guy that's running it, and he is an active duty Green Beret, and all the instructors in his crew are active duty Green Berets, and they're going to make you sweat. You'll get out there, and you'll run a rifle and learn how to run one.
What do I need? I mean, I've got an AR-15 and a Mossberg shotgun.
You'll need your AR, you'll need your handgun, and you'll need whatever mags and gear you use to carry those items.
Holster, mag pouch, holsters, extra mags.
It's a one-day class. It'll be 500 rounds of rifle and I think 200 rounds of pistol. And I'll put the contact information on there. And this is a quick one coming up, and he can get you in there. Now, that being said, you know, I don't pimp for any one particular training course. I just happen to know this guy. I think he does a good job. But any rifle class you can get into, any pistol class you can get into, be a gun shooter, not a gun owner. People who own guns and leave them in their nightstand are kidding themselves. Get out, practice, train, and see what your limits really are.
There are a lot of classes going on right now. M3 Strategies has got one coming up, I believe, right around the same time as the AWOT class. Mm-hmm. And then in early August, we're going to have the tactical medical class that Shiloh Shooting Range is putting on. And that's going to be something that we found is that we go and take all these classes on shooting, and we never take any classes on what happens if we're shot back at.
Or just any kind of medical emergency. Because, I mean, you could be in a car accident and need the same training.
And so you'll learn how to plug a hole while you stay in the fight. So I'm really looking forward to this class. And if you have any questions about awattclass.com, you can call them at 832-390-0812. Okay?
Thanks, guys.
And Steve, Since you're out there in the Woodlands, yeah. Are you going to, you think you got a chance to stop by Do-Si-Do on July 27th to help out the Wounded Warrior Project?
I'm a donor to that, and I just heard it, so I'm going to see if I can get out there.
All right, we'd love to have you out there. Like my buddy Ben said, the tickets are $60, and a lot of that is going to go towards benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project.
Hey, one more question. I have an 18-year-old daughter. Can she take her concealed handgun yet?
Only 6 months before her 21st birthday.
Okay.
Unless she's military.
Yeah, there you go. So, thanks. Steve, appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you calling. And we look forward to seeing you out at Do-Si-Do on July 27th. All right, and then now let's head out to Meyerland for Mitch. Mitch, what do you say, buddy?
Hey, man, I've been listening to you on this Zimmerman trial, and, you know, it appears to me, one, Mr. Zimmerman has a malicious prosecution suit against the county and the state of Florida.
As well, I believe he should. Angela Corey has done some really, really awful things that were did not benefit Mr. Zimmerman at all in order to secure his arrest warrant.
That's absolutely correct. And the people responsible for the death of Trayvon Martin were sitting on the other side of the courtroom. There's no way you have a belligerent young man that talks trash to you and gets in your face and not know you've been raising that.
Well, the person responsible for his death is ultimately him. You know, we can say we hear all the time that he's a child. No, he was 17.
But you can have – I've met good parents that had bad
crummy kids.
It does happen on occasion. But by the same token, why was he living with his father and not his mother? Mom had thrown him out of the house
because
mom couldn't handle it.
He was having so many troubles at school.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, this all lies on the shoulders of Mr. Martin. If he did not double back around behind Zimmerman to go and attack him, he would probably still be here today if he didn't do that to somebody else in the meantime.
The thing is, I've seen 17 and 18-year-old Marines and people that were responsible. That is a grown man, and they keep referring to him as this child that was shot. No, he wasn't a child. He was a belligerent guy with a chip on his shoulder who was strutting around up close to people's houses.
You make a good point, though. That I think the biggest point I just got out of everything you said is at 17 years old, you could join the Marines and fight for your country.
Right.
And carry a 100-pound rucksack and hump around an M240B or anything else.
Right.
At 17 years old, you were fully capable of being fully combat ready. Absolutely.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. And so, but really, we've got to have some emphasis from the communities some of these kids come from for somebody to be responsible and not tell them it's the old white man's law, you don't have to pay attention to it, and the fact that the world owes you something. And go out on the street with an attitude. You just can't do that.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that. But, yeah, what's really bothering me is that I'm seeing no one say ultimately place the blame on Martin. So I think you're right, Mitch. And how are you feeling, by the way?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm still moving forward, and I can still raise my gun and shoot, so I'm okay.
Good. That's the important thing.
My wife and I will be out to see you guys sometime in the middle of the week, and I'd like for you to meet her. She's a sweet gal. I've known her since we were 13.
And she's kept you around still?
Anyway? Well, we had a 35-year hiatus. I got invited to a free tour of Southeast Asia in my early 20s, and when I came back, I couldn't find her. So I found her a few years later after I'd raised my son by myself, and he was going off to college. But I'll shoot that article to you.
Please do, Mitch. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you giving us a call, man.
Oh, hey, buddy. I love you a bunch. Take care.
Thank you, Mitch. All right. Now let's head out to San Jacinto County and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Mike?
Well, thank you. I have a little bit of ground to cover here. First of all, what spurred me to call in was your first caller this hour, Chuck.
Yep.
I just wanted to remind everybody that, and I'd like to ask Chuck to get his political label straight. Obama never had a libertarian base at all.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Libertarians. I'm a libertarian. And libertarians are some of the best friends gun owners and gun lovers have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Obama never had a libertarian base. If you got one or two people that claim they're libertarian, they're like a Bob or like a Bill Maher libertarian. He used to go around claiming he was a libertarian. There's right. nothing libertarian about him.
Yep.
But anyhow, I just wanted to do that because I really felt slighted.
And I don't blame you, Mike. I don't know how that one slipped past us.
By the way. You wonder why you're getting all the Bob Dylan music?
Fire away, man.
You know Dylan's not his last name, don't you?
And what would his last name be?
Zimmerman.
Think about it.
Hey, you tell us, man. This is yours.
Zimmerman.
There you go. I know you're way out there in San Jacinto County, but if you ever stop by northwest side of Houston, come to Shiloh Shooting Range. Not only will you get a free round of shooting on us, I'll give you a brand new Magpul P-Mag as well.
Well, I'm going to try to do my best to get over there then.
Come on by, Mike. Appreciate you calling and giving your input.
Well, thank you, and I do enjoy y'all's show a lot.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And let's head out to Northwest Houston and talk to James. James, what's up?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, I hear so much information about this Trayvon Zimmerman thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to hear what time of night or morning.
Around 7:30 at night. Yeah, it had just gotten dark, so it was dark, but it was not an ungodly hour. It was 7:30-ish at night,
yeah.
And it was only dark that early because it was raining and overcast is why it had become that dark.
Okay.
And they had said several of the street lights were not on at that point, and there's been some discussion as to if the lights were on timers and weren't photovoltaic that basically it was dark before the lights kicked on,
mm-hmm.
which helped add to the confusion of everything going on that evening.
Well, I'm glad it turned out like it did myself.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, too, I was under the impression it was a 3 a.m. trip to the store for Skittles, but that was skewed. And we do try to deal in facts on this show. Unlike other news outlets, you know, we do have our opinions, but we do try to back them up with facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know time of night or morning, like you had mentioned, 3 a.m. thing, that would have made a big difference.
It still would have been legal for the kid to be out at 3 a.m. I mean, it would have been strange, and the parents should have been taking care of their kid, but...
Well, the way my folks raised me was, you ain't got no business out there running around at 3 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm sure you still snuck out once or twice, right, James? I mean...
not that late.
I can't see your halo.
No. You're sneaking home at 3 a.m.
Let me put it this way. At 17, if I wasn't in by midnight, I'd have been knocked out.
I definitely understand that one, James. Hey, James, you're in Northwest Houston. What do you say about stopping by Dosey Doe on I-45 on July 27th to help benefit the Wounded Warrior Project?
What day is that?
July 27th. What is that, Ben? Is that a Saturday?
Yes, sir. It's a Saturday. 5:30 p.m. is when we'll start.
At 5:30, that's what I was afraid of. So I'm a security guard. I go on duty at 6 o'clock.
Mm.
Well, nobody said you can't come out early.
I could raise these drive by and leave the place, huh?
Yeah, come on out, man. We appreciate you calling, James, and we appreciate your input.
Thank you, fellas.
All right. Now, Jason, we were talking about the different levels of criminal culpability.
Yes, we got sidetracked on that. Criminal culpability. Now, I am not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be one.
No, but you are an expert witness.
I could be considered an expert witness in some things, not everything. But basically, we were talking about there's the act, and the act is not what we're judging people on 90% of the time in criminal law. It's the intent. And if I kill somebody, killing them in and of themselves is not a crime, never has been, never will be. If I look at Jeff and I say, Jeff, you're giving me a stink eye right now, and I shoot you, well, am I justified in killing you? I've killed you. I pulled out my gun and I pulled the trigger. Well, okay, he's just as dead. What was my motive for pulling the trigger? Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way he looked at me. Well, I'm going to jail for a long, long time. And in Texas, I'm probably going to get a little needle stuck in my arm. Now, the exact same thing happens. I look at Jeff. Jeff's giving me the stink eye. I said, what are you looking at? And he said, I think I'm going to kill you. And he starts to put his hand under his waistband. Now I do the exact same thing. I pull out my gun and shoot him. The exact same thing has happened. He's giving me the stink eye. We're sitting across from each other. I still shot him. He's still dead. Circumstances have totally changed now because now I can say, I kind of feared for my life when it was happening.
Right.
Or Jeff says, I'm giving you the stink eye because you got that nice new pistol and I want to see it. Okay, I take it out and start handing it to him. Boom! Uh-oh. I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to clear it out. I dropped the magazine and I thought I racked the slide, but apparently I didn't. And I just shot Jeff. Well, we still have a shot Jeff. We still have me pulling the trigger. I'm not denying that. Was my intent criminal? Did I look at him and think, I don't like him?
No, that's what now we call felony negligent. Stupid.
Well, we're at criminally negligent homicide at this point. And this is why, as in the criminal justice system, we have killing is not defined as a crime. Now we get into homicide, criminally negligent homicide, manslaughter, first-degree murder, second-degree murder. All these are categorized by different mental states of the individual at the time. Mm-hmm. If we get into something like criminally negligent, I didn't intend to shoot you. Or I didn't intend to cause your death. But I was doing something so stupid that anybody who heard the idea of what I was doing would look at you and go, dude, that's stupid. You're going to get somebody hurt.
Yeah, it's called contributory negligence.
Contributory negligence. So I'm doing something incredibly stupid that everybody and a reasonable person would deem was stupid. Now, if it's just involuntary manslaughter, I'm doing something and, oops, I accidentally did something. You know, I'm perfectly legal and taking my gun out at the range. I was going to load it up and I accidentally stroked one off. And it goes through the little barriers there and hits Jeff. That could be manslaughter because I wasn't necessarily acting with criminal negligence. I was out of range. I had my gun out at the range. That's common practice there. Yeah. I did something stupid, but was it criminally negligent at that point? Probably not. Now, if I did the same thing but we're standing in the parking lot of a bar at 3 a.m., well, why were you taking your gun out and waving it around there? Now we might get into something that would be a criminally negligent homicide as opposed to having the intent of I'm going to wake up this morning and go, you know, I've always hated Jeff. And I've been thinking about killing him for the past 5 years, and I think I'm going to start stalking him, get his patterns down so I can find him. There is planning, there's intent, there's malice aforethought, and I've intentionally, knowingly acted against Jeff's interest. Now we're at murder one. Murder two might be that Jeff and I just got into something right now because Jeff thinks I was looking at his girl or something like that, and we kind of get into it.
Why do I have to be the example in this? Can't you use the new guy?
Well, I don't know him that well, and if I get into it with Gary, well, there's he's not the whitest guy on the show, so I don't want to confuse the issue.
I don't want to confuse the issue, see?
Because immediately, if I shot Jeff, you'd go racist.
Racist.
And besides that, Jeff, you are a bit of a turd, so it seems totally plausible that you might need to be shot.
I think we are 1/32nd like Native American also, so that's hate crime.
Oh, whatever.
Hate crime.
Anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. I know most of our listeners probably know that, but there's a reason there's four or five different levels of homicide that are out there because there is no catch-all. There is no one-size-fits-everything case.
Yep.
All right, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but hold on tight. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. I think I've got it here somewhere. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're talking the Zimmerman case. We're talking a whole bunch of stuff. Anything you want to talk about today, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Ben, what's going on July 27th?
Got a charity fundraiser benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project at Do-Si-Do, July 27th at 5:30 p.m.
That's out near the Woodlands, right?
Yes, sir, off I-45.
All right. Benefiting who?
Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay. Now, Houston, Jason and Gary and I were talking on the commercial break about a meme that's floating around. That's what it's called, right? A meme?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, I tell you what. Let's head out to the phone lines, and then we're going to talk about this meme real quick.
All right.
Okay. So let's go out to Galveston and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Mike?
Well, thanks very much for taking my call. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you, sir.
Say, I had a question about I was looking for a new concealed carry weapon. And I was taking a look at a Walther's, and it was a kind of nice Walther's, German-made 7.62 Walther PP.
PPK?
Well, it's actually a PP, I think. And, you know, that takes a 7.65 round. And have y'all, I understand that's interchangeable with the 32 round.
Well, if you can find conversion kits and stuff, there are ways to change stuff around. I'm not sure about the exact caliber designation for the 32, but if you're talking about the old Walther PP, it's a police pistol is what the PP stands for. The PPK would be the police pistol compact in German speak. So it's a little bit bigger than your old PPK James Bond style pistol, and they're not bad. But for the size and weight you're getting into with an all-steel pistol with an atrocious trigger pull on it and probably the cost of it being a Walther, I think you could probably do better with a polymer pistol with a little bit more power to it because you're carrying a big, heavy pistol with a pretty anemic cartridge if it's going to be a .32. if you've already got a PPK and it's all you've got, or a PP and that's what you want to carry, that's fine. But if you're going to go buy one, I'd look for something with a little bit more power to it, a little bit lighter weight, a little bit more modern materials. Yeah.
Shield. Much better off with a car or a Shield. Walter,
especially for the money.
Even a Ruger.
From.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a 1940s design,
right.
And for its time, it was great. Okay, 1920s. For its time, it was great, but an all-steel pistol of that size, there's better things in aluminum now, there's better things in polymer now, and there's better things with more power and lighter weight than what you've got there for the price.
Does that help you out, Mike?
Yeah, it does. But as far as the interchangeable rounds, you think you've got to get a conversion kit. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure. Gary will chime in on that.
You know, 765 is what we convert 32 to. So
I'm not positive, so I'm not going to tell them one way or the other.
Yeah, it translates to a 765. I don't know if you're going to see that ammo very often, but there is the 32 ACP. If it actually says it's 32 ACP, then you're cool.
If you want something that shoots two calibers, you can always go with like a Glock 23 and shoot and get a 19 barrel for it and shoot 40 and 9, and your ammo is going to be way cheaper than 32 and 7.65.
That's the thing is that 32 ACP ammo is going to be hard to come by. That's
and it's
going
to be pricey when you do come to find it, and it's probably not going to be the best hollow point. It's going to be ball ammo or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, your choices for ammunition are going to be limited. It's an expensive round to feed right now. Last I saw it was over $1 a round.
So even if you get a good deal on the gun, if it's going to cost you twice as much to feed it, you're really not getting a deal. If you pay a little bit more for a gun, and even 380 or a 9mm, you'll be able to find ammo and be able to feed it a lot cheaper.
There's so many things to consider. It shouldn't be this complicated.
It shouldn't be. But the beauty of it is you have choices. You're in a country that you've got multiple choices. And as we usually say on air here, Smith & Wesson Shield, the Car series, the Glocks, the M&Ps, even some of the smaller SIGs, there's a lot of quality firearms out there. There's a lot of junk firearms out there. Avoid Rossi, Taurus, Kel-Tec and some of those smaller guns. Stick with a gun like we said, Glock, Carr, Smith & Wesson, SIG, Colt, even. And
I like to stick to guns that are being used by federal law enforcement agencies and by major metropolitan police departments.
You mean people who have dumped time, money, effort into researching whether or not the gun will last? Say it isn't so.
You mean people who shot folks professionally?
Well, people who have dumped, you know, if they're going to buy, you know, look at an average federal agency. If they're going to buy something like 7,000 or 8,000 guns at a clip, they're going to do a little bit of research before they dump $10 million into a contract. So, and even a large department like LAPD, New York PD, they buy 45 to 50,000 guns at a pop. You think they're just going to buy something off the shelf without running it through testing before they buy it? Chances are they've run it through the ringer a little bit before they pick it up. So, Jeff does have a point. A large, quality, reputable manufacturer who's got a good track record of providing for police and military and stuff is probably a good place to start looking.
All right. I hope that helps you out down there in Galveston, Mike. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you giving us a call on Guns Over Texas. All right. So.
I sent it to you.
What?
I sent you the meme.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. Okay, so the meme that we're talking about, it's making its way through Facebook. And it says, do I even have to explain how messed up this is? And you've got a picture of George Zimmerman, and you have a picture of a black lady. Underneath Zimmerman, it says, lives in Florida, killed an unarmed teenager, claimed self-defense, found innocent because of stand your ground law. There's our first blatant lie.
Because if he had used stand your ground law, the burden of proof would have shifted from the prosecution to Zimmerman, mm-hmm. and he would have had to prove everything. He looked at the evidence that was on the table and looked at everything out there and said, man, I got a lot better chance of letting them prove that I did something wrong with the absolute poop evidence they have, which was nothing.
There you go. Now, under the black lady ad or the black lady picture, and her name is Marissa Alexander. It says lives in Florida, shot warning shots, no one died, claimed self-defense, found guilty of a crime, 20 years in prison because she was denied stand your ground law. Now, if you do a little research into Marissa Alexander.
Whoa. We don't do research. We look at the meme.
We got to look at the meme. We got to let our emotions run wild.
All I see here is that racism ran rampant and a black female was thrown in jail for 20 years while the racist Zimmerman was set free. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not looking and reading about facts. Killing unarmed teenagers.
No, we need to spread this. like a virus.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what did Marissa Alexander do wrong. Well, when you first start to read her case, it sounds you'll get mad. You know,
and we have mentioned this on air before. We went over this a year or two ago when it actually
went
down.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. She had a husband who or ex-husband who is beating her up, and she was in fear of her life, and she had a protective order against him.
Which is all perfectly fine and legal. And I'm on her side so far.
And he came over to her house with his kids.
Uh-huh.
And she decided to fire a warning shot. Not sure what kind of gun she was using.
Actually, there was even more to it than that. She was in fear of her life, she said. She left the house.
No, she went to the garage to get the gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, well, that was the thing. I thought that the story was she tried to leave the house, went to the garage to get in the car to leave. Realized
she had blocked the driveway,
or that she didn't have her keys or something like that. Went back into the house with a gun, and when he challenged her again, then she fired a round off into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the kids were in the house, and I believe upstairs, which is another extenuating circumstance.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're saying is there's more to this case than a one sentence meme.
Now, right. She had a protective order against him.
Okay.
I believe she had an order for her as well, to which she broke that order on two separate occasions to go to his house. One time to confront him, I think, about the situation that she was in, and another time allegedly because her baby's health insurance was about to be up or something like that, and he needed to sign some documents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the court has told you not to see this man,
right,
and you go over there anyway to get him to try to sign documents.
That's when you have your lawyer take the documents over.
That's when you get your lawyer, you get your process server, you get your constable, you get your mama, you get your cousin, you get somebody else to go do it, not yourself, because the judge has already told you, do not violate this order, to which she did the first time, and they got into another fight,
and then
the second time was.
And in Texas, when you're under a protective order, you're giving up that gun.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under a current protective order, you're giving up that gun. It doesn't mean you've lost your gun rights forever,
right,
but if you're currently under a court-ordered protective order where you have to stay away from people because there's been threats made or whatever, the court generally says, while we're sorting this out and everybody's emotions are high, you ain't packing right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And while you read this story and the background to it, if you look at, say, the Huffington Post and you read it, it will be 2 3/4 pages about the injustice done to her, mm-hmm, and then the very last paragraph or two is going to say, oh, yeah, and by the way, she violated the orders by going and starting a fight with him one time and then going and trying to get him to sign paperwork another time. Oh, well.
Right.
Okay.
So so basically this is not the meme that we see.
Yes.
Is BS.
And during her statement,
when
she cranked off her round and the officers got there and there was a round through the ceiling and everything had happened, they said, what happened? She goes, I shot the gun. Well, did you shoot at him? Well, no, I wanted to scare him. I wanted him to stay back.
Which is the wrong answer.
Was he coming at you? Well, no, I just wanted to scare him. You strummed off a round. You took it from, I'm arguing, you took it to deadly force.
Right.
But you yourself are saying, well, he wasn't actually coming at me and I wasn't in fear of it, of my life right there. I wanted him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I squeezed off a round. The gun and the bullet don't know you're just trying to scare. The gun and the bullet are at 100% deadly force every time they come into action.
Right.
The gun doesn't know any better. And if you're using deadly force, you brought it to deadly force. Now, if she'd have told the officer something to the effect, and I'm not saying she should lie, but if she said, well, I thought he was going to come at me. I told him to leave. He wouldn't leave. I thought I was pinned in, and I shot at him and missed. Well, it's not against the law to miss.
Right.
But when she said specifically, I didn't think he was coming at me. I just wanted to scare him. Well, now we have a problem.
Yep.
And this actually spins into part of, Gary, your concealed carry instruction has been cut from 10 hours to 4 hours.
Yep.
And part of the class is to tell you things like you don't get to strum off warning shots.
Absolutely.
Because that bullet has to go somewhere.
This is the kind of information that's going to be lacking in a lot of those 4 to 6 hour classes.
And the thing is that a lot of people, and we were talking about this off air, there are a lot of people who either through common media, be it TV or whatever, or just, the I guess, musings of people that don't know any better, because you talk to cops from the 1960s and 1970s, it was actually okay to fire warning shots at people.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that anymore. If Jason did that tomorrow with a felon just to scare him, They'd say
I'd probably be filling out an appointment application the day after.
You know, and they'd probably start denying you everywhere, going, let me get this straight. You had a desk pop just to scare somebody. Yeah, you're done.
No. And I brought up off air, and I'll bring it up again. We discussed, like, I can think of legitimate things where I would feel justified in squeezing off a warning shot. And I could articulate how I was in fear, and I was trying to do the best I could. And the argument was an actual thing I'd been in where I'm outside of a nightclub, and there's a crowd of about 150 to 300 people that are not happy that the police have been there, and the bottles start flying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a crowd of 300 people throwing bottles. Now, they are exhibiting deadly force because many of these bottles are about three-quarter full.
Right.
And they're throwing them at us, you know, and it's like I can't see in the crowd where the bottles are coming from, but the crowd is not dispersing and the anger and everything is getting up. Now, could I in my own mind articulate that I cranked off two into the dirt next to me to calm the crowd and get them to maybe panic and or run and get away from me? In my mind, I might be able to say that, and I could say, boom, boom, I cranked off two rounds. The crowd all panicked and they took off running, and then I was saved. And the next day, your boss would go, well, okay, yeah, you're safe. All right, well, go on and leave your badge and gun here on the desk. Go on and drop your keys off over there at the other desk. The admin ladies downstairs will process you out with your last check, and it's been really nice working with you, but go clean out your desk, and we'll talk to you later.
And that the warning shot deal actually happened. It was about a year ago. We talked about this. Three teenagers were robbing houses in a, I think it was Mississippi coastline, you know, like some beach houses and stuff. And came across a couple of guys that heard their neighbor's house being ransacked. So they went over there with a gun. Mm-hmm. One of the guys fires a warning shot into the bushes next to him, to which one of the three teenagers was hiding in those bushes.
That's right.
And died. So warning shot is typically not a real good idea.
Yeah, because once if they start throwing out the exception of, well, I shot it right at the ground, right in the dirt, not the concrete, but in the dirt. And if you give that exemption of saying, well, that warning shot's okay, but others aren't, then we start getting into the danger of, well, I shot into the ceiling. Well, it's a two-story place. Or I shot into the floor, like y'all talked about in class. Well, you're on the second floor of an apartment. Who's below you?
Right.
You've got to basically say, hey, there's never a good time to pull the trigger unless you're intending to kill.
Yep.
Which is what I hate about shooting the gun. Well, you could have just shot him in the arm or the leg.
Well, here's the thing.
If I'm launching deadly force, I could kill him, too.
And we don't necessarily, you know, your agency may be different. We don't use the term necessarily that we're shooting to kill.
No, we're shooting to stop the violent action.
Absolutely.
Because it entails death.
Exactly. Right? It's death may be a result of the force used, but that's not our intent. And I've never been taught that. I don't teach that. Yes, we are using deadly force. There is no question about that. And somebody can argue that I'm splitting hairs. Fine, if you want to argue that. But at the end of the day, the reason I'm shooting is to preserve life, not to take life.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But that's not why Martin shot. He was a murderer.
You mean Zimmerman.
I mean Zimmerman shot. He was a murderer. Oh, I messed that one up. Okay.
Another correlation in this meme, though, you know, does Marissa Alexander deserve a 20-year sentence?
I don't think she deserves a 20-year sentence.
There was a 20-year
the
sentence.
The correlation between Zimmerman and Alexander, and this is something that, you know, it seems like the meme would have this information. The state attorney, Angela Corey,
same
prosecutor. Both cases.
Yes.
The prosecutor who has now been indicted by a citizen grand jury for the way she handled she intentionally withheld photographic evidence of the injuries to Zimmerman's head and the warrant that she rushed to issue under oath. So,
so she lied under oath.
Yeah. And
that is a felony.
And then you read the statements that she makes about Miss Alexander and her shooting the gun, and it's obvious that Corey is rabidly anti-gun, and that
this prosecution may have
it
been more about
it. Seems like she would
guns.
Want to empower this single mother who is suffering abuse at the hands of her ex-husband,
right,
who admittedly beat up five of his other six baby mamas. But no, she wants to prosecute this woman because of her owning
possession
a gun.
Of a gun. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So Houston, that's 2 hours down of Guns Over Texas. Ben, real quick, do-si-do, what's the date?
Do-si-do, July 27th for the Wounded Warrior Project, right up in the Woodlands off I-45.
Come on out to Do-si-do on July 27th and see my buddy Ben and see who is the band?
Scooter Brown Band.
That's two more hours of Guns Over Texas, Houston. Shoot straight.